You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9 o'clock, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson weighed in on Clemson. John C. Calhoun, he was John Quincy Adams' vice president, 1825 to 1829. Clemson is built on Calhoun's Fort Hill plantation. And there is an award, or the Honors College is named Calhoun Honor College, Honors College. And apparently he was down with slavery. He was kind of a big fan. He actually had 70 to 80 slaves. And he had this quote, "Slavery is indispensable to a Republican government. I hold that in the present state of civilization, where two races of different origin and distinguished by color and other physical differences, as well as intellectual." Yikes.
I'd say it's all in. It's pushing your chips in.
I'd say that, yeah, you know, if we're going to tear down statues, I think we could probably get rid of the Calhoun name at Clemson. I'm pretty sure. Dude was a... He was all about slavery.
And I didn't really notice how DeAndre Hopkins introduced himself.
I didn't either.
But apparently DeAndre said, "The reason I don't ever say Clemson when I'm DeAndre Hopkins, like the Sunday night
Clemson University."
He never says Clemson because of this particular issue.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Deshaun won't this year, I guarantee you.
Yeah. He says, "I felt this oppressive figure during my time at Clemson and purposely do not mention the university's name before NFL games because of it." So, yeah, I would imagine now. I mean, they've had petitions before and they've been declined to get rid of the name. I kind of think this is probably the environment. This is probably maybe. I mean, I tell you what, George Floyd, that's the last straw for a lot of people. That is, George, that whole thing, I think, woke up.
Well, yeah.
That woke up a lot of people. Yeah. Yep. I think a lot of people look at it differently.
Aubrey and Floyd, back to back.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's that wasn't nearly as publicized, although it was horrific.
No.
And I was with, that could be even thought of as more egregious.
Well, because although he was a former police officer, he wasn't in uniform,
right,
or in being employed by the state while committing murder. That's probably didn't have the same impact for some. Although you watch it and you just watch a guy jogging and being hunted down and killed,
right?
It's just awful. And this is how you said maybe the last show, it's had far-reaching effects. We've seen the protests around the world, and Winston Churchill's catching it too. His legacy, well, there are a lot of people who thought he was a terrible person to begin with, because if you go through his history, when he wasn't winning the war against Hitler and the Germans, he did a lot of awful things to people who weren't white around the world as England was trying to colonize and expand their empire. So they on one of his statues, they go under it, his name says Churchill, and then under it goes, "Is a racist." So anyone, and like, it's legitimate. You have to just read about him.
I didn't see that on that movie that they did.
You didn't see that one?
It didn't have any.
It's surprising. They didn't.
Well, I think that one, the movie dealt.
Wasn't Gary Oldman?
Yeah. Yes, I think
it dealt mostly, though, with just the war and his efforts there.
Yeah.
But they didn't really delve into his racism.
AJ's right. AJ texted, "I hope Deshaun doesn't Google Thomas Clemson." And I'm like, "Who's Thomas Clemson?" "Oh, that's who it's named after. And Thomas Clemson was an American politician and statesman serving as an ambassador in the United States Superintendent of Agriculture." Now, as soon as I hear agriculture and I think back into that time, you meet into the 1800s, you're like, "Ooh, agriculture. I know what that was. I know what was typically involved in that in the southern colonies." He served in the Confederate States Army. He founded Clemson University. And then it's got his agricultural studies, early life and education, then his politics. From 1860 to 61, Clemson served in the Buchanan administration as superintendent of agriculture. As the threat of civil war became a reality, Clemson resigned this post on March 4th in 1861. He stood on the side of his adopted state following the firing on Fort Sumter in April 12th of 1861. Clemson left Maryland for South Carolina, and he spoke to the Farmers Society and publicly urged the establishment of a departure of agriculture. He was more agricultural than he was, you know, necessarily a fighter. But, yeah, he's one that I don't think anyone is.
Well, if you go to Clemson.
He enlisted in the Confederate States of America and spent two. But that's going to be across the board in southern, in the old South. Southern institutions.
Even on the Clemson official website, they talk about his slave-owning past. So they're not hiding from it on the website.
On the Clemson website?
Yeah, it's there. Thomas Green Clemson, university founder and namesake, was also a Confederate officer and a plantation and slave owner. Right on the website.
Although the college was de facto founding of Clemson University, although the college was de facto all-white, all-male college when it opened, Clemson did not explicitly ban women or African-Americans from attending, unlike the founders of Vanderbilt, Tulane, Rice, and other Southern universities.
Whoa, not Rice.
Rice is like,
Vanderbilt,
whoa, whoa.
Tulane,
whoa,
and Rice.
Whoa.
The military college founded in 1889 opened its doors to cadets. I didn't realize that must be where, why Clemson plays the Citadel every single year. Anyway, that's more about Clemson University that I care to.
If you want to dive deep into the origins of all these old institutions that have been around the South and really other places in the country as well, you're going to be like, maybe we have to rename everything.
Yeah, don't go poking your nose in everything right now, Joe. Yeah. Leave the Google alone.
What do you mean, me?
Leave the Google alone.
Deshaun and DeAndre are part of this.
Don't Google things, obviously. That's what AJ's trying to say. Don't put the Google machine down.
Not if
it's
you want
to find some bad things.
Don't look anything up if you want things to stay the same.
Oh, so you guys are trying to, okay, all of a sudden now Clemson's good at football. Now we're going to go back in Clemson's Twitter and see what Thomas Clemson tweeted. But that's what we're doing?
But the guy who helped Clemson become great at football, both of them are like, yeah, this particular thing has to go. So it's not just me.
No,
Clemson people are turning on Clemson people.
Oh, I suppose they were okay with going after Josh Hader when he was 16, too. Okay.
You think it's the same thing?
It's kind of the same thing.
Tweeting rap lyrics and owning people?
Yeah. Well, no.
No, it's different.
That's different.
Yes, it is.
That's different.
I don't think going back in Josh Hader's history, as dumb as it might have been for him, because he's a teenager, we're all stupid then, is the same. Has on the same level as saying, hey, you know what, maybe we should change the name of this particular area because, you know, it honors a slave owner. Although the argument is then maybe we shouldn't have any paper money because they honor slave owners too.
So at what point will it no longer be called Clemson University?
I don't think that'll ever happen.
I don't know.
You think?
I don't know. I mean, we're on a pace right now.
What will they call it then?
What, the pace that we're on, though? Okay, we're tearing down statues, and now Calhoun's going to be canceled. I'm telling you, it won't be long before Clemson is canceled.
I wouldn't care one way or the other. I have no connections to institutions. But they acknowledge he was a slave owner on their website.
I know, and they're going to have to go, wait a minute. Maybe we got to rethink this whole Clemson
thing. The number one greatest president to ever live, outside of the current one, obviously, is George Washington, correct?
No, Lincoln.
Well, some people love themselves from George Washington, okay?
Yeah.
And you know what George Washington did? He owned people.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Some things just don't get canceled. I'm not sure Clemson's, that name's changing at all.
I don't know.
No, the name of the school is not going to change. I don't see that happening.
Watch. Washington's going to catch it too.
Well, he should.
Jefferson's catching it.
Well, they all should catch it. You own people, you should catch it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I know, it was a time.
It was a different time.
Yeah, it was a terrible time.
It was a terrible time, and it was a different time.
And this isn't me.
It was like,
me going after the past, but if people are catching it, that's a reason to catch it.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, Jefferson's catching it. Clemson will catch it.
I don't know. They have the strong roots.
Jefferson's catching it. Did you hear what Thomas Jefferson? Did you hear about Thomas Jefferson?
Did you? Hey.
Yes.
Remember when he was 13? What he wrote?
No, not like Twitter.
Oh.
Did you guys hear what Jefferson did? Yeah, it's been in history books. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been out there.
Yeah.
Exactly. John's like, boy, Jefferson's been catching it this last week.
Not this last week. He's been catching it a little while now.
Yeah. Jefferson.
Yeah.
As far as the founding fathers go, if you can call him that, he's been catching it far longer than a lot of
people. Yeah. Thomas Jefferson is, he's been catching it.
Right.
Man, they went back into the Jefferson papers and, his inkwell and that parchment paper. This dude was writing some harmful stuff. What would be the version of Twitter for Thomas Jefferson? Did he have some academic papers he wrote that people
pamphlets,
have to go through?
Yeah.
Pamphlets?
Well, if you watched Hamilton, you would know that Alexander Hamilton was like, that's what Alexander Hamilton basically was the first Twitter, I won't call him a Twitter troll, but he was a provocateur of sorts, where he would say, you know what? I'm going to use an assumed name. I'm going to use an alias and go after John Adams. Huh. I mean, it's in the history books too, but now it's real history. Once Lin-Manuel Miranda did it, I'm like, oh, that's right. These things happen. I forgot.
Oh, you needed a play to be done?
A little better beat.
See, let's see where Lance stands on this one. You see, breaking. WHO clarifies that they estimate 16% of people are asymptomatic and can transmit the virus.
So which one is it, that WHO?
Now it could be as high as 40%. And we also regret saying that it's very rare.
Well,
what are they
doing? Now how can you trust anything now? So they say it's rare, then they take crap. Now it's like, oh, we shouldn't have said rare. It goes from 16% now to 40. This is why you can't even trust the...
Adam Kramer tweeted out, I want to confirm that I only had 3 beers on Saturday. Clarification, it was 11 beers, actually. Clarification number 2, it was 15. Okay? I regret saying it was only 3 beers.
Which one exactly? Adam Kramer's been around.
The guy is drunk!
Which one is it, World Health Organization? Forget it. No
one's
going to stadiums.
The one where we play it extremely safe, and you can't come after us if you find our numbers to be wrong.
Is this what it is? Yeah. Better to be safe than sorry. So yeah, let's better keep than, the number. Let's go back to the high numbers.
Better for us to tell you the numbers higher than for you people to go out there, hang out, and get other people sick and then blame us for it.
It's so extraordinarily difficult to get real information anymore. Everyone is – and if the information isn't what you want, you have to kind of grind on it and search and find what we need. My gosh, World Health Organization, you just had something just yesterday, and now you've changed or even we regret saying rare? Well, then why did you say it? Mm. Well, because it's rare. Then why are you changing? We got in trouble. By who? Twitter got mad. You changed because of what? Yeah, CDC called us punk ass bitches, and we're scrapping with CDC. What you are? Yeah,
take that stuff from
CDC. And
then
they twist up their middle fingers and they say, "Yeah,
no, you just throw up West Side, and it'll be
their world." That's World Health Organization.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then they're like, and they're throwing up C's.
I'm just glad CDC. There's no the camera on for you while you're doing that.
I'm just doing a C.
Are you allowed to? You're wearing all that red. Are you allowed to throw up a C?
Ooh. No, I am wearing a lot of red today to be throwing up a C.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dale.
Yeah.
But there's no Twitch today.
Huh?
So you just snitched.
Yeah, what happened to Twitch?
The camera had issues, so they noticed it, the camera's
those
on.
Those 4 people broke it.
Why do you continue to insult the Twitch stream? Why do you continue to do that?
There's a rumor going around Reddit that this morning that the Flopping Buffalo protester was Vlade Divac. That's not true. Here's a picture of the old man, a close-up on the ground. There's a tube running from his mask, and the blood is coming from in front of his ear. No blood on sidewalk or back of the head when he got up.
There was blood on the
sidewalk. He might have had a tube.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
What are you looking at?
Create any doubt you can. Look at this tube in his ear.
I'll send it to you, Del. And maybe you'll believe.
I don't want your
It's a picture.
I don't want your QAnon conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any of that.
They go hard in the paint.
They do. They don't mess around.
713-780-3776.
You're with the cabal.
Come hang with us here on ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 713-780-3776. If you want to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5, you are more than welcome on this day to come and hang with us. And whatever you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. We've already broken down some of the things. First, Daryl Morey and James Harden. We had a conversation about that earlier in the show.
Yeah, let's get back to that for a second. Why don't you talk about what Daryl said?
Daryl Morey said that one of the things that he said that is most is that he regrets that he has not done enough to get James a championship. You would argue that yes, he did. He did one year at least. They had a good enough team to win.
They were the best team in the league.
They were the best team in the league, and they were up 3-2 with two home games.
It wasn't two home games. It wasn't 2-3-2. Won game 5. Chris got hurt. They went to Golden State, had a lead, blew it.
Zhang's wedding. Wedding, and we're all watching the game like this.
That's right.
As the wedding's there, and he's got Hennessy's on the table coming, and everyone's taking shots of Hennessy. That was a hardcore night.
Yeah.
And then we're watching the Rockets get a big lead in Golden State, like, holy crap, and then blow it.
You would argue, yes, he did do enough. That one year, I would agree, they were good enough to win.
Yeah,
I would agree, they were good enough to win.
And they've had Western Conference Finals since then. They just ran into a buzzsaw. That's not on Daryl Morey. They ran into a team with that was a really good championship team.
Yeah. The Western Conference, that was their last Western Conference final. They haven't had him since then.
No, before then.
Yeah, before then. You said since then. He has
Daryl before then has had then Daryl had him in the finals too. I mean in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, they weren't good enough then though.
They had a good team You know what? Who were
they lost
who was
four
better,
games to one. They
who was better
good.
Than him? No, right. And then Golden State won the title.
Yeah, right. I say weren't good enough.
Right.
But they were good enough to beat them that year, though. They were good enough to beat them when they had the 3-2 lead. But they weren't good enough that year.
No, but that's not on Daryl Morey to get better than. Nobody was better than that Golden State team.
Well,
no one else gets beat for that.
But yes, that's his job. And secondly, he said, I haven't done enough. That's my problem. But he did do enough, I would argue, in that one year. Yes, he did do enough.
I think you had them. To me, you can't say, well, I gave you everything you possibly need and you're better than the Warriors now. You had the ability to compete with the Warriors. You beat them throughout the regular season that year. You were beating them in the regular season the year that you went to the finals. You had wins over the Warriors. You didn't step up and play well in the postseason against the Warriors.
I would argue they just weren't good enough.
Well, okay, so they were one of the four best teams left at the end of the season.
And
right?
They weren't.
Then you had a chance.
Yeah, I didn't say that. They weren't good enough to win it. They weren't good enough to win it, period.
The GM's job is to give you enough to give you a chance. And I would argue that Daryl Morey, if you get to the Western Conference Finals, if you're one of the last four teams, then you have your opportunity. You have your shot.
Yeah, I would argue they weren't close to that. They weren't close to that Golden
State
team.
Let's see how the team's executed.
Okay, we differ. I would say they weren't close to that team. They lost 4-1. They didn't have a chance. Just because you were one of the four best teams doesn't mean that you were the best team. And what he's saying is NBA title. And they weren't close to an NBA title.
So do you make the same argument that anybody who lost to the Bulls, their GMs didn't do enough? Or do you say, well, Michael's really good?
Yeah. Well, no.
And the Bulls were really good. What are you going to do? You just lost to the Bulls.
You did. You lost. You absolutely. But you weren't good enough. You weren't good enough.
But their GMs didn't do a bad job. You just weren't going to be able to do it. Why don't we say the same thing about Golden State?
That's not what he said. What Lance. What Daryl said was, I didn't do enough. And he didn't have a good enough team to beat them that year, but he did 1 year. So I would disagree with Daryl. I'm with you. Yeah. But not the other year. They weren't good enough. They just weren't. But the point being is that now he's trying to make an argument for James being a good guy. Very gregarious, very open, very smart. Now, with his friends, he's like that. But he doesn't trust many people. With the people he trusts, that's how he is. He's just a great guy. And with everyone else, he's not the opposite. He's just reserved. I would argue he's over-reserved, but that's another story. That's another argument for another time. I don't care. This is not an... No one's trying to implicate James as being a bad person. He thinks that the media isn't fair to him, but quite frankly, we see what we see. That's all. That's all we can go by is what we see. Well, he says, well, behind the scenes. Well, but there are plenty of people in the public that are better people than James is. And James, quite frankly, in the public, and whether he's reserved, or whatever the case may be, he's not a great ambassador for the team. He's just not. He's not a good interview. He doesn't seem to be all that open to doing things that would make that are ambassador like for the team.
No, he's not the lead that you want with the fan base, and he's certainly not Lima. But he's not even just average Astros guy like George Springer, Altuve, or whoever you want to pick out. Any Texan you want to pick out, Deshaun, JJ, whoever. Yeah, he's not. That's not him.
No,
that's not him. He doesn't like people. He's not comfortable with. He just is not going to give you the time of day, and that's fine. But you're not used to that. It kind of runs contrary to what Daryl is telling.
Well, right. But I think this is probably something that is accurate. James is probably the least likable star in this city.
Yeah, on a personal level, sure. Sure, I don't think that's unfair at all.
No.
Least likable, he's least accessible,
yep.
I would say for sure. Least likable. Well, if likable means you feel
Look at who are they? JJ, Deshaun, okay. Altuve.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, those other stuff. Well, Russ is up there too. I mean...
Does Russ do anything personality-wise with anyone in Houston? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does.
Well, he's obviously had issues. He's guarded as well. Not nearly as open, especially with the media. He's certainly not a media darling and doesn't like that aspect of it. But just fine. A lot of guys, I guess, you know, I listen, just because they don't like, I don't care. I don't know, though, that is Russ out there in the public? Is he doing stuff? I don't know. I haven't heard it. Have you?
No, I have not.
I mean, I know James. Hell, James almost went to, or one of his guys went to jail because of his camp, which he charges for. And then they had the issues with Mo Malone Jr. And, you know, and that whole thing happened because James charges. Other than James charging, do you see James out there doing a lot of stuff community wise? And I mean, we see video of him at his camp, and he's, you know, playing basketball
breaking
with kids.
Some kids' ankles.
Yeah, he is. He breaks ankles out there. But other than that, you don't. James is not a big. You're like,
well, I don't know. Maybe he does it in private. I have no. He has his foundation. That hosts the weekend. James Harden is hosting his third annual JH Town Weekend with a variety of charitable events in Houston. So he does have that.
Yeah.
That happens every year.
He stays in his bubble.
He donates groceries. If you type James Harden charity, stuff will come up.
No, it does. He takes kids shopping, or is it grocery? Yeah. He's very pro-black in terms of the community. Very much so. But it is quiet. Some of it's quiet. But the Rockets put it out. We get those things. This isn't new.
The articles are out here.
Yeah, this isn't new. James has his weekend, which started as kind of a party. I think the Drake weekend that he started in appreciation of Houston, James has kind of jumped into that kind of idea, and he does do a lot of stuff there. It's a big party. It's a big party weekend, and people come in for it, and that's fine. I don't even know what our argument is. We're talking about something that's really irrelevant to him winning championships or whatever, but it's I think it's just countering some of what Daryl, but Daryl does see that, James. It's just most of us don't get a chance to see him.
Yeah.
Like that.
No. No, we don't. And
I would argue that 95% of people who consider themselves supporters of the Rockets do not get to see that.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would people be more on board with the Rockets?
Because more on board with James, yeah.
Well, no, and the Rockets. Because I'll tell you what, that Astros team from 16 to 18 to 17 to 19 was likable.
You know who else was really likable? The team with Tracy, Yao, John Berry, that team. Because they were the scrappy, they were the scrappy little team. But they loved each other. I think you want to see the team. Yeah, I think you want to see the team really love each other as a group of brothers and the brotherhood, because that's what that Rocket team had, and that's what that Astros team had. First and foremost, you want to see guys who are having fun, because players having fun is a really big deal. When you see players are having fun and enjoying themselves, usually that is going to be younger players, but when you see players having fun, enjoying themselves, being part of a brotherhood, I think fans really latch on to that. It's not necessarily always going to be this outward autograph signing thing and yelling into the crowd that we love you, Houston, or stuff like that. But if you see guys who love each other and there's a camaraderie, because I really felt that. One of the teams, that team that won 65 games and they were tight with Trevor Ariza and Chris Paul and James and then P.J. Tucker, you could sense that was a tight team. They really liked each other, and there was a certain camaraderie there. And that was one of the reasons I really enjoyed that Rocket team.
Yeah.
Because you could sense that brotherhood and the tight-knit team.
Oh, I thought this...
Ariza's gone, and Chris Paul is not the same. You know, he's hurt, and then he and James have stuff going on. And it's just you just don't want your stars to not get along. That's the worst.
Yeah. No. I like that team too. I like that team. That 65 win team a lot. That was a good, really good basketball team. It obviously, and listen, the Rockets would be better off if James was more likable. If he was like Springer and Altuve and JJ and Deshaun.
Is this a generational thing? Lance, I know your kids love basketball.
Yeah.
Are they bigger Rockets fans than Astros fans? Do they talk about the Rockets,
Rockets quite
a bit more? Is that strictly a basketball thing, or do they actually love
basketball
this team?
They like basketball more than basketball.
Okay. Yeah. But JT's even like that.
Yeah, I'm not.
Astros are okay, but he would much rather watch a Rockets.
Now, they love the Astros when they were winning, like when it's playoffs and stuff. But what they talk about is not Astros baseball. What they talk about is basketball. And it's not just Rockets. Yeah. My kids just talk basketball.
That's why I tried to
I think that's a generational thing.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out. I mean, we don't have, I don't know, if you're 17 and love the Rockets, call in and stuff. I don't know about that. But I wonder if this particular discussion, for younger people, like, I don't know what these guys are talking about. I love the Rockets. I love watching
100%.
Yep.
100%. What I found is if you argue about the Rockets negatively or James, it's kind of a bubble. Like, yes, there are fans who feel a certain way. But for younger fans, and really I would say anyone under 30, they don't have that same vantage point. It's rare in Twitter and doing sports talk radio. And we talked a lot of Rockets at 790. We talked a lot of Rockets. I just don't find, and I went to a decent amount of Rocket games. I don't get that vibe. I think younger people really are all in with the Rockets, and they're not as, some might say cynical. I just think we're analytical in terms of the way we're looking at it and how they're constructed.
Do you think that the celebration and the parade would be as fun and emotional and as crowded as it was for the Astros?
For a lot of people, yes. I think the Astros captured a baseball segment that had been asleep and people forgot. A lot of people forgot that.
But that was a fun, but see, that was such a likable team.
Yeah, it was a fun team.
It was a fun team.
If the Rockets win, it'll be a celebration, but I feel like there would be a lot of fans going, EAD. You guys didn't ever think we could do it. Not like the normal, the normal, hey, no one believed in us. There'd be some vitriol from Rocket fans saying, you've been after us for years. You didn't think James, not necessarily directed at us, but just nationally. You guys didn't believe in it. You didn't think James could do it. EAD. This is ours.
Right.
There's James fans who absolutely feel that way.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I agree. All right, let's talk right now about Scott McGrath. I agree with him. When we had the house, we used Scott McGrath, loved him. He came over and, listen, he's got everything. He's geared up to kill everything. Fleas, termites, mosquitoes, rain. Hey, listen, with the rain comes ants as well. You can save your home from termites, save your family from mosquitoes as well. If you think you might have termites, you got to do this. You got to nip it in the bud, and you got to do it in a hurry. Save thousands in damage later. And mosquitoes, he's got the mosquito murdering system. It'll keep your yard mosquito-free, totally safe for you and your family, not safe for mosquitoes. McGrath Pest Control, I've known Scott for years and years and years, and this dude, he is vigilant. He is determined. He will kill them bugs. And if listen, and they're going to get it right. I saw my buddy's bar. He had a cockroach problem. No more. Not after Scott McGrath. And he used so many different places. Scott McGrath was able to kill and keep those roaches out of there. Fleas, beds, bed bugs, spiders, all of them. 281-469-8240. 281-469-8240 or McGrathPestControl.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
39th birthday today, Dell. Do you know whose 39th birthday it is?
No.
I'll give you a hint. I think you like her.
Why? Is she... So Avril Lavigne.
It's not Avril Lavigne.
I know she's not 39.
It's not the lead singer of Evanescence.
I don't care about
the those lead are the two my go to moves.
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. Gallagher. You
Matt
keep
and Kim.
Banging
it's
the
not
watermelon.
Kim from Matt and Kim.
I don't care. Who is it?
Natalie Portman.
That'd be awesome.
You ruined it, John. There was going to be a lot of
who doesn't love Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman is beautiful.
Even yeah,
Natalie Portman she's when right. She shaved her head in Vendetta,
it was
and you're like
still beautiful. She's got a beautiful face.
If you're still beautiful when you just shave your head and you're like, man, she's still got the pretty. Because we're used to the superficial, you know, mm-hmm. We'll see the right hair or whatever. Natalie
not,
Portman.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman
wait,
is still.
Wait, there's not a lot of women that can get away with bald.
That's tough.
I mean, that's not being superficial. It's just, there's not a lot of women that can get away with that.
That's not.
There, hell, there aren't a lot of guys that can get away with that. We're used to it.
Black guys can. There's not a lot of white
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, not a lot of white guys.
Because the misshapen
like
heads
Chris
eventually
Doyle.
Will get you.
Well, he can't get away with anything.
Well, I'm trying
no,
to think.
No, he can't. Not anymore. He's no. Been canceled.
I'm trying to think of the shaved head guys.
Chris Doyle is the Iowa strength coach.
The shaved head guys would be, I mean, there's some. The guy who handles my contracts, Russ Spielman.
What's
good
his name?
That
was
guy.
Here, the Texans, and he's
Billy
in San
Zane's
Francisco, the defensive coordinator.
Oh, Robert Saleh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a.
He gets away with it.
Not a white guy, but yeah. Robert Saleh's got a great head for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I got a weird-shaped head. I'm not doing that. You know what I did instead? Doc Linville.
Yeah, you went the other way with it.
I did.
You went the other
true
way.
True that. I'm putting more on.
So Natalie Portman also, I watched Closer the other day. Did you ever see Closer?
No.
Dale, you've seen Closer.
Sorry, I was talking to Esme. What'd you say?
You've seen Closer, the movie with
yes.
Natalie Portman.
And what's his name? Clive,
Clive Owen.
Jude Law,
and
maybe?
Jude Law. Clive Owen punks Jude Law in the end. And
oh,
also,
wait a
Pretty Woman, Julia,
watch it.
Julia Roberts. You need to watch.
Just gave it away. Spoiler.
She has. Oh, no. In that movie, she does some dancing with clear heels.
Mm. Now, you don't see. She's in a thong, if that's your thing, but she's not like.
No, but you get a. You see,
I don't like you talking about this, to be honest with you.
You
it's
see,
weird
you
for you.
See, I mm-hmm. mean, it is her dancing. It is her
yes,
right
and,
there.
And she does some stuff with the legs. Yes, I remember.
She does some stuff. There's things that happens.
Yes, she is a stripper, yes.
But that movie was, wow, she would have been in her, she would have been like 28, 27 then.
You should, maybe even mid-20s.
Maybe mid-20s. But Closer's a pretty good one. You might want to check that out.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to.
Pretty. It's not a bad movie at all.
I still haven't gotten to A Special Favor or whatever it is. What is it?
Oh, A Simple Favor.
Simple Favor.
Closest from 2004.
That's, wow.
How about you can't spoil the ending?
I'm telling you the year. I'm not spoiling.
She's 23 years old.
Yeah, she was young.
And probably filmed it when she was maybe 22.
Yeah.
Clint doesn't think the Astros are going to win 100 games this year. Okay.
Well, they're not going to play 100. He's right.
Well, he's, yeah.
You're right about that, Clint.
If you're being, you don't know. They talked about 114 games when they wanted to get more of their money.
Well, then that would mean the Astros are going 114.
I think the 75 could happen. I think the 75 games could potentially happen. I know that's the one that the players are shooting down. That's the one the owners put out there. But the more games you have, the more money you're going to make if you're players. The 48 just isn't going to work.
Yeah, I don't know why they would prefer that. Just take more money. Yeah, but the owners are being, they want more than, they want to, it's just, they want to give 50% of the money and not, it's just.
They're not even guaranteeing postseason in their latest proposal. The postseason, if the league got canceled for some reason, the players wouldn't get.
Well, they shouldn't get postseason.
Well, so the numbers, despite what's been thrown out there, aren't the real numbers because the players are looking for guarantees.
Yeah, of course they are. So am I. David Gow, I want a guaranteed contract here. No.
Wait a minute.
Right?
How long have you been here?
From the beginning.
It's almost like a guarantee.
No, it's not a guarantee.
Almost.
No. Almost. I'm on a franchise tag.
Every year, and it keeps getting re-upped.
No, I'm not re-upped. I'm not re-upped every year.
Actually, shouldn't you have already been released or traded?
I stopped.
I mean, yeah. You're like a running back.
I'm on my eighth franchise tag.
You're like a running back. Why are we? They're like,
only it doesn't keep going up every year.
We keep paying this guy running back money. What are we doing here?
Hmm. Do you know that Barstool is having their golf tournament here in September?
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, they were supposed to have it this spring, and they had to move it. I think it's in September or October, one of the two. Anyway, it's sold out in a matter of minutes, and they're all going to be here, I think. All of them are going to be here. We'll
like
have to do our show from Wildcat.
Like they're celebrities.
They're doing it at Wildcat.
Aren't they just dudes?
Well, it's a pretty popular.
Oh, I'm aware huge. Of how popular.
Well, you know how much they spent the money for. You know, it is a really. It's pardon my take. Is the I mean, there's other guys like Uncle Chaps and all that, and their blog. I mean, their podcast network. They have a radio show on Sirius XM that Willie Colon. I've been on that one before with Willie Colon and Stephen Chea, but it's really the pardon my take is the big cultural because. People from around they've had so many different guests on. They're the one that and I got offered an interview with those guys when the Super Bowl came. I really didn't know Barstool that well. I didn't really know them, and they've really really taken off since then. I have seen that they had a reputation as being like you know kind of a right wing this and I have noticed that their stance as a group. Has been way different than some probably expected after the death of George Floyd, the murder.
They want to get canceled too?
Who's that?
Oh, that better be different than what people said. What are they going to get canceled?
Well, I think one of the points was that there was a diverse set of opinions. They got lumped into one group, but I don't think that some of the shows or some of the podcasts or people all had the same opinion, but I don't know. They're huge. Yeah. They're huge in the market, and it is the...
Elmer told me they sold out like in a matter of... an entire golf course.
Oh, my aren't they just dudes thing wasn't like, oh, I wasn't aware of their popularity. It's just literally they're just a bunch of guys.
They're just like a bunch of guys. They're not
together.
That different.
Yeah.
I mean...
But they're pretty good at what they do.
No, they're good at what they do, but they also have... I went to the studios when I was there in New York 2 years ago. That's where I got the nine faces of Bill Belichick shirt was there.
Yeah.
And Chaps, I reached out to Chaps, said, hey, I'm going to be in New York. Can you help me get in? I want to go see what this setup looks like. He goes, yeah, absolutely. So I got in. I met PFT commenter was there. I know just a little bit. Barstool Big Cat, but I just checked out where their video room was. They had their two different levels that they had. it's like if you had a group of it's like if the big lead really got fleshed out from back in the day, or when Deadspin was Deadspin back in the day, and if some, they put a bunch of money into it and they really tried to expand it. That's what Barstool was. People were doing Barstool stuff before. Well, multiple people were doing Barstool stuff. I would argue that Bill Simmons and Page Two was doing similar stuff, not quite as aggressive or as far-reaching, but that was the first. Bill Simmons was the first that I saw who really was great at interweaving pop culture into sports. That was the game changer to most of us who were around then. Barstool probably liked Bill Simmons at the time. He was their Boston guys. He was a Boston guy. That's kind of what their thing has always been. When Dave Portnoy did the weekly newsletter, but it just really took off. He just stuck with it, man. It's a pretty impressive business model. Just started a small printable version that he stuck in bars and things like that. I did that. That's how I got started. I was sticking my NFL media guy. Like I was sticking my NFL. I would write it out. My mom would type it up for me. I'd have it printed. These magazines that were NFL preview magazines. And I'd go to sports bars and ask if I could stick it there. Yeah, that's fine. And I sold advertising myself.
I was sticking it in
myself.
My mouth, but I was doing it wrong.
That's not where he stuck it. He didn't stick it in my mouth.
No.
He didn't stick his papers in my mouth.
I was sticking it in my mouth, but I was doing it wrong.
9:45. You have to ruin everything. Lance was telling a nice story about how he started.
Nice? Have you guys, by the way, I was watching the Garth Brooks documentary. Have you seen it?
No.
No. Surprisingly, you didn't see
it. Yeah, it's
odd. It's actually pretty cool. It's actually, dude, just exploded. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable how big that guy got in a hurry.
You watching? Have y'all watched Space Force yet?
Space Force? Yeah, it's not that good.
I've watched three. It's really not.
Not.
I've watched three. There's some laughs. It's not, there's some laughs, but it's pretty campy.
The biggest news coming out of it is that their logo they're using was apparently one that the government was considering, and now the government can't use the
logo.
Right,
because they've got it
first. Space Force got it first.
Yeah. Space Force got it first. 946. 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I can't even... You know what? That just pisses me off. Who said that Mike D'Antoni said that?
Well, in a Q&A with Kelly Eichel, who works for The Athletic, writes for The Athletic Houston, covers the Rockets... This is a quote from that, but with Daryl Morey and Data, with how we think, gives us the best chance to win. It probably comes down to nine guys. Now, who those nine guys are could change. They could change. But apparently, that whole short bench stuff that we saw in the playoffs in recent memory, a thing of the past.
Oh, really? Oh, now he's just woken up to this? Oh, Mike D'Antoni, 69, finally realizes that he can't win with a seven-man rotation over four series of seven games. Wow. Thanks, Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni, 69. Mike D'Antoni, who's lost every time in the postseason because his team tires out, because he goes to such a short bench, finally has realized this at the age of 69. See, that's why I don't know. I'm just haven't been a Mike D'Antoni fan. I really believe that, you know, his offense, he's really good, but he's got James Harden. There was a guy that just tweeted out, "I feel sorry for everybody who just chooses to slander James Harden instead of, you know, realizing his greatness." And he put out a video of unbelievable James Harden. James Harden, some of his moves and some of his baskets are really just unbelievable. I don't believe there's a coach that can't get this out of James Harden, though. I really don't. I'm
with you. Well, Kevin McHale, James Harden is going to be great
yes.
as an offensive threat, as a passer, as a, I mean, the turnovers, no, but as a passer,
Bickerstaff got this out of, I mean,
you don't have, James transcends the team and the coaching. He does.
Yes.
It's true. He's a true superstar.
Yes. And so, well, this Mike D'Antoni, offensive genius. Well, James wants to hold the ball. James going to hold the ball. And he has admitted that. And James gets the ball, and it's James' ball. That's all. And you know what? We're going to win. That's right. And that's how you're going to win. And that's all. So, but I think some of his decisions and the rotation thing, I think, is the biggest indictment against Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, because it's always been he tightens way, way up. Look, there have been times where I thought he could have made changes to at least mix some things up. And for whatever reason, he's so freaking stubborn and always has been about just really shrinking. Even when the Rockets had a decent bench, he would go and just
no. And just good guys that were contributing. Montrezl Harrell can't get on the floor. Montrezl Harrell is turning into one of the best power forwards in the NBA. And he can't get on the floor with Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, and he played all year, and you're like, what the hell are you doing? Why?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, I mean, other guys that played huge roles. Nah, not anymore.
Not anymore.
So I just think, do you really believe that he's going to nine, or is it going to be the last two guys are going to get 4 minutes a game?
Well, much like Tillman.
Well, that's nine.
much like Tillman pushed off that discussion about whether D'Antoni would come back on Morey, D'Antoni said, Morey was the one who believes in this instant that nine guys is the best way to go. So,
well, Morey's right. Hey, Mike, let's talk about this for a second.
Maybe he will because the GM told him that's how it should be.
Well, maybe. Well, maybe Daryl brought him, you know, evidence that said, look, talk with this. Where can we play more guys?
Possibly. And maybe that's why we'll see a change this time around. Now, who are the nine? Do you even remember who's on the Rockets?
No.
Since this season,
honestly,
done since March.
Honestly,
do you even remember who's on their bench?
No, it's like I don't even remember the season.
No, right?
I swear, it's like I don't remember.
Okay,
the season.
So it's going to be Harden, Westbrook, Gordon, Covington, Jeff Green, Daniel House has got to be out because Daniel House can't play in the postseason.
Well, if you miss a couple shots, you're done.
You're done. That was a bigger indictment. Probably was Daniel House. I know. I guess it was too big for him. He played for 4 minutes and he pulled him. Ben McLemore, Austin Rivers, PJ Tucker. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Damari Carroll is out. Chris Clemens out. Hartenstein out.
You think he goes with the younger House over the older player in Carroll?
I think House is a better player.
Yeah, but he hasn't shown. He showed no confidence in him last year when he was a good shooter and he couldn't get.
No,
he couldn't
play. No, that was one of them. That's one of the guys. Yeah.
I would say.
But maybe now that he's been with him longer.
House is not a defender. I would say he's more likely to go Carroll over House.
Wow. I don't get it. I don't get it.
He hasn't shown confidence in House in the past.
Well,
I don't know why I would change.
Well, Damari Carroll just actually recently. Towards the end of this season, actually started getting more minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's averaging, Damari Carroll is averaging 16 minutes a game. House is averaging 30. I got to believe he's going with House.
Oh, House will get the first shot.
Yeah. But that, you're on a bubble, pal.
Don't miss a couple shots.
You better hit early.
And don't get beat defensively because that's a combination of right. You benched.
Well, that was like nobody gets beat defensively
on this team
on the Rockets.
No, it doesn't happen. Well, at least
Daniel House.
But those
you
other,
got beat. Get over here.
But those other guys score. If he's not going to make shots and get beat defensively, D'Antoni can't have everyone be a sieve.
I know. Certain guys get certain.
But that's kind of like a whole crowd of people walking across. You, Jay Walker. Get over here. Wait, but Everybody's walking.
Have you seen this country last couple weeks? Some people are like, yeah, I know what that feels
like. Wait a minute. What if it was a white guy that was getting pulled out?
Well, Daniel House isn't that white guy.
No. But in this instance.
He's
the white Jay
Walker. Yes, in this instance, a group of white people, you pull the one white guy out.
One white guy out. He's Jay Walker.
Yeah. But the only difference is those other white guys, you know, were contributing to whatever the group was doing. If Daniel House ain't going to make shots, D'Antoni's going to find it pretty easy to go, all right,
man,
you're terrible at defense. Let's go.
Daniel House was walking slower than the other guys?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's, look, you know what they say. I don't have to be faster than the lion. I only have to be faster than you.
Nah.
So Daniel House is always the slowest one.
Well, Daniel House, give him a break, okay? Let dude play this year. He's averaging 30 minutes a game.
Make some shots, Daniel House.
Goodness gracious.
And we got a guest coming up as well.
We have what?
Oh, yeah. You know, The Rock is going to be champions. We got a guy with the name
Wendell
of champion
is
coming up.
Join us. Right here on ESPN 97.5. He is running for city council, and we will talk to him about that. Or, excuse me, he's running for Congress. And not city council. He's running for Congress. And we will join. He will join us next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.